prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, September 26th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
You know, we get in a crazier and crazier world, and the headlines that I see, it's just so puzzling. I mean, the world is crazy, just absolutely insanity that is going on, and certainly very little seems to make sense, and perhaps that is what is meant to be. But one of these days, we have gold down today, $4.10 today, although it is coming back from its low at $1,218. We have silver up 13 cents. Good to see silver up a little bit today at $17.73. The white metals were down. Platinum was down 13 at 1306, and palladium was down 22, again another 3% at $781. And you have the USDX today, again another strong day for that, 0.44 to the upside at 85.64. And crude oil was up 92 cents at 93.45, and of course going into a weekend, paper markets, you know, they had to come back strong. Up 167 for the Dow, back up over 17,113. The NASDAQ was up 45, a little over 1% at 45.12. The S&P was up 16 at 1982. And the 10-year yield up 0.02 at 2.54%. So, saw some gains today in the stock market, so a little bit of pressure on gold. And things have just, I don't even know where to start, Al.
Start at the beginning.
I mean, it's just so crazy out there with so many things and the lies, and with this being an election year, it's hard to...
Yeah, as if we don't have enough lies to deal with in the first place. We expect a certain amount of lies during the election year, but it's as if we are constantly in election year. I mean, nobody ever tells us the truth coming out of government. That's an exaggeration, I hope. But where do we find reliable information?
Well, it's incredible. Today, for September 26th, the second quarter GDP was revised up to 4.6%.
And I stick around another month or two, it might get up to 7%.
It just might. And I have a bridge down in Florida,
and that's up
for sale. But after the dismal winter, the U.S. economy expanded at an annual rate of 4.6% of the spring, and that is the fastest pace in more than 2 years. This was released today, and of course, they're looking for the strong momentum to carry through for the rest of the year. And the Commerce Department said the April-June figure compared to a decline of 2.1% in the first 3 months of the year because of that bad winter. And of course, this was even better than the 4.2% estimate made a month ago. And but the economists believe it's growing about 3% in the current July-September quarter. So again, these are numbers that it's hard to swallow. You have consumer spending, which accounts for, we all know that it accounts for more than two-thirds of the economy, for the economic activity. That grew at about 2.5%. Annual rate, and that is unchanged from the previous estimate, but double the 1.2% growth in consumer spending in the first quarter. So, you know, I guess all the spending and was mainly business investment, and you know, that business investment is usually, you know, if it does have a major impact, is usually you know, for a quarter. It's not a continued strength that you'll find in the economy like you would the consumer spending. But it's kind of hard to kind of scratch your head when you have consumers buying two-thirds of the economy, that you would have that much of a, I mean, they really didn't grow that much. So again, it just shows you, you had the GDP, but the reports, we saw that housing, new housing was strong for the last month. But durable goods sank 18%. So, you know, from a high of 22% in July. So, you know, these numbers, they don't back up. They don't back each other up.
No, it's like they're selecting the numbers with a dartboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand that this is a very complex business. If it's true that the numbers are being manipulated, you know, it's like squeezing a balloon. When you manipulate the balloon by squeezing it in one place to make it smaller, it's got to get bigger someplace else. There's a balance that has to take place. And when you squeeze one number for, say, the price of gold, this ultimately influences another number, which is inflation, which influences another number, which is unemployment. And before you know it, trying to balance these things, balance these lies, it becomes an exercise in that old saying, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. They've got to lie about so much stuff. In order to support one lie, they have to back it up with a number, a significant number of additional lies. And all of these lies start magnifying themselves. And if people believe any of them, they act on them, and it makes for complexity and confusion that you can't really find if you're trying to tell the truth. I'm not saying the truth is always absolutely clear or anything like that, but it doesn't require another lie and another lie and another lie and another lie in order to back up the truth. Truth will pretty much stand on its own. Oh, so where do they get the numbers? I don't know. How do they make them consistent? All right? It's easy to make up numbers. Anybody can do that. That's not a problem. But how do you make the numbers consistent across the whole system where it at least seems plausible? And I think ultimately they can't do that.
When I first started working in my late teens, early 20s, I went in the insurance business, Al. And eventually I wound up to commercial underwriting, selling commercial policies to businesses. And very often we would just pull numbers. If we wanted to be competitive with another company, we would just match their price or reduce it a little bit, and then we would take it back to the office. And at least they had to make the numbers match to come out to whether the receipts of the company or whatever, it would have to match with the formulas that they used in order to meet that premium that was charged. Government here today, they pull these numbers and they don't match to anything with any formula that they produce. And so I understand, you know, you can pull numbers out of the sky, but they still have to have a formula and equal to something. And insurance was fun in those days. Homeowners policies
and being probably cheap.
Much cheaper than today.
Yeah, I understand.
That's for sure. Today, Britain announced that new powers to punish rigging of the LIBOR interest rates with criminal sanctions should be extended for seven major benchmarks drawing in oil, gold, and currency markets.
Ooh.
Ooh-hoo. Now, what's funny is it's not going to apply for the old rigging of the oil and gold and currency makings, but it seems like possible for future, which means they're going to continue to do it. The government launched...
They're going to continue to do it until they actually pass these laws.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be legal to manipulate the markets up until the time they pass these laws, or that's the implication. But once they pass these laws, if they do, the manipulation has to end, and when that happens, then we begin to see real prices, in theory.
But basically, this is the government launched a consultation. So they're talking about it on extending the new legislation in the government to put in place to regulate LIBOR to cover further benchmarks. And again, in the commodity markets, they want to extend the legislation to the London gold fixing and the LMBA silver price. So again, which determines the price of gold and silver in the London market. It also is targeting the ICE Brent futures contract. And the government wants to extend the legislation to cover the 4 p.m. London fix, a dominant global foreign exchange benchmark, and some other areas. And they said they are determined to deal with the abuses, tackle the unacceptable behavior. What I find it is people are losing confidence, and this is a way to try to bring back and to instill confidence into their markets. They had announced in June its intention to punish the manipulation of these key benchmarks. Well, it was funny, I was watching CNBC, and they were interviewing this guy that used to work for Barclays, and they asked him if, his comments on what England came out on Thursday and what his view of it was. And, we know Barclays, they were fined for, $500,000, somewhere around in there. And it was really kind of funny. Oh, I don't follow that. Here he was, a big wheel in Barclays, and they're being fined $500,000. Oh, I don't follow that stuff. So it was kind of interesting. No comment whatsoever. And so maybe, maybe since he was involved in Barclays as a big guy, maybe he's shaking in his boots a little bit. Who knows?
My question about the proposal to pass laws that would extend criminal liability to other markets, do you think this is because of growing public pressure, awareness of market manipulation, the public is saying we want it stopped, or do you think this is because the system is on the verge of collapse and therefore they're going to get religion before the system just blows up in their faces? You follow what I'm saying?
I do. I don't think it has anything to do with religion. I think if you believe in the big picture, and they're bringing it to the edge, so they do have some sort of a collapse, so they can commingle all the markets together. This is part of their plan. They're expecting it. I think it's more along the lines pressure. Maybe from some other areas, maybe from other countries, maybe China. They're big buyers, India's big buyers, and it's kind of like, you guys can't get away with this anymore. And they need that confidence. We know the world runs on confidence. And so if they need to keep their program going a little bit longer, they might need to instill that confidence, and maybe they're just covering their butts too.
Well, confidence, of course, is the essence of every con game. And it's the fundamental product of every con artist, which these people engage in fraud by manufacturing false confidence in the minds of their victims that they can trust something when in fact they cannot. So we had a whole system based on confidence.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, some people ought to say, that means we have a system that is essentially a confidence system. And how much difference is that from a confidence game? And how much difference is a president of the United States that tries to instill confidence How much difference is there between him and a con artist who's trying to sell the Brooklyn Bridge out on the streets? You know, someone ought to just say, sit back and say, you know, this is a bad sign. You can't hold this together with mere confidence and expect it to last forever. It just can't be done. And if you lose that confidence, then what do? You begin to see, we got a problem here. And that means I have to protect myself. The system won't.
And losing that confidence, I believe, is part of their game. They need it as long as they can complete their agenda, so to speak. But if they lose that confidence, perhaps they do lose a little bit of their control.
They lose an enormous amount of their control. What are they going to do then? The only thing they lose, there's only two ways that you can control people, and one is by brute force, and the other one is by winning the people's consent, where they you don't have to push them around, but they do what you say anyway. They're going to do what you say anyway without brute force if they have confidence in your leadership. They lose confidence in the leadership, and at that point in time, they are now free-ranging. They can do whatever they want because they're not going to take orders from the president or whoever because they don't have confidence in him. And now how do you control them? You've got to put boots on the street, same way we controlled Iraq and Afghanistan. And in fact, we never really did. We pushed them around for a while and we finally had to leave. And the whole thing was never really controlled and it never will be.
Well, what's interesting is it seems like after the Scotland vote last week, England got busy and is doing all these things. They've came out and agreed to support the U.S. in the airstrikes in Syria and Iraq, and along with two other European countries. That was announced today. So they're becoming involved and saying that they're such a threat, and we're here to help. In the no one has agreed to any type of boots on the ground, so to speak, but they have at least given their consent to help in the bombing attacks, the airstrikes in Syria and Iraq against ISIS. And I was going to talk a little bit about EU. The European Union also came out and they proposed a deal to ensure Ukraine gets winter gas. They're looking for Ukraine would repay $3.1 billion in debt to Russia in exchange for guaranteed gas deliveries through winter. And this is this proposal was unveiled today after the European Union got together and said, hey, you know, we need to start thinking about these people who are going to be hitting into a cold winter. Maybe Ukraine needs to start paying Russia for their debt so we can get this gas flowing again. And it's not going to resolve the deeper dispute over what price Kiev should pay for past and future deliveries, but at least hopefully it would get the gasoline going. What is funny, the EU Energy Commissioner, Gunther Oettinger, he said there's a good chance of the deal being signed next week when he plans to get the two countries' energy ministers and top gas executives back together in Berlin. Those officials will now consult with governments in Kiev and Moscow. So here you have the European Union putting out this deal that, oh, well, we'll just have Ukraine pay. And they haven't even yet spoken and consulted with Kiev and Moscow. So will Putin accept?
Where's there? I have no idea. Yeah, I imagine. I mean, $3.1 billion is better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. But where's the $3.1 billion coming from? Well, make a bet it's coming from the United States. Ukraine is broke.
Yep.
Yeah, our government. So we're going to be putting sanctions on Russia. And the implication is while we are sanctioning Russia, at the same time, we're going to be ultimately indirectly giving Russia $3.1 billion. Welcome to the modern world of political entanglements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue our pricing on the 1/10 ounce, 1/10 of an ounce gold Eagle coins for $138. And we also have the 90% silver, 50-cent pieces, $50 face value, and your total package includes shipping for $888, 888. So they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1/10 of an ounce gold Eagle, $50 face value of 50-cent pieces for $888. That includes all your shipping costs. And I do, again, have to mention once again, you folks are going to get tired of me mentioning it, but as long as I continue to get as many calls as I am about those K-bars, about those grams, I will continue to touch on this briefly. I'm not going to go and spend 20 minutes on this, but again, the value for those bars is just not there. You're paying way more than you should for your gold. It is not an educational tool in any shape, way, or form. It's not teaching anyone about gold. It's not teaching anybody about the value of money. And that's what
it will
want
when they
to
go
teach.
Broke.
Yes, when they go to sell it, then they'll understand. Mm-hmm. But as far as buying it, if you want to give it as a gift, my goodness sakes, go to Hallmark, and you don't want to use Hallmark, but go to a card store and buy a birthday card and slip the thing in there. It is just as good. You don't need to spend, you know, $60, $70, $80 on something that is worth about $30 or $40. So,
yeah, that's right.
Again, so folks, when you go to
now,
sell it.
Let's be clear about this. some of these Graham cards are just Graham cards. And you can buy a Graham card. I don't think they make a lot of sense, but you can buy one, and it'll cost you maybe $50 a card. All right? But it's not part of a multi-level marketing deal. If you buy a multi-level marketing deal, at least some of those are right now being sold, my understanding, for about $75 per gram. Huh? That translates into $2,300, very nearly. Just a shade under that, but $2,300 ballpark figure price of gold for the Graham cards that are being sold currently at $75 each as part of a multi-level marketing system, which means that the price of gold will have to nearly double before you'll even break even on your Graham cards. Huh? So those are the ones you got to be careful about. If it's associated with a multi-level marketing system, you need to be extraordinarily wary. If you're inclined to buy just Graham cards and they're available and they're just selling it, it's translates into $50 in some instances. $50.
It's still more, Al, than what they
should. I know. I understand that, but it's not a ripoff to the same degree.
A ripoff is a ripoff. Whether it's 20% or 100%, a ripoff is a ripoff. When you're looking to buy value, you look at the value, not whether it's a ripoff or not. And the thing of it is, the average guy, if you're going to be looking to spend $50, you're far better off buying two silver eagles. You know, 100%. People talk, I hear this word, clients who call me, average people. You know, if you're an average person looking to have a savings, and it's the same thing as if you open a savings account at a bank and you give them $50 and know you're only going to get 30 back and say, well, you know, you just keep 20 and just give me $30 back. Yeah, I know this is a sin. I don't get it. It's not helpful for the average guy. It's not helpful for any education. It's not helpful for any type of birthday cards or anything else. Be creative. Make your own birthday card and put it in there, your anniversary. They've been selling Silver Eagles little cards. You can go buy them at, is it Littleton or Silvertown? You can buy them for Christmas and so forth. And you're not going to be spending that kind of big money. And, you know, maybe people don't understand what average folks are all about. But I think average folks want to get as much as they can for their dollars.
Unfortunately, there's an alternative position on this. Average folks are the ones who have or don't have confidence in the system. And average folks are perhaps more interested in having confidence. Confidence isn't just something where the government says, oh, well, let's go inspire some confidence and then we can hustle these people. Confidence is something that a lot of people want, and they're willing to overpay and get less value for whatever they're doing if they can have confidence that suits them psychologically. Now, it's a bad, bad choice. It's an ignorant choice to seek confidence rather than, you know, an objective reality, an objective profit. But nevertheless, this is part of the explanation for why people do things that are ostensibly stupid. Right? You look at it and say, why the heck did you do that? And they say, well, I don't know. It's because somebody was inspiring their confidence, and they bought on the basis of confidence rather than objective reality, and that's, you know, and then they come to regret it.
There are no get-rich-quick situations. It just unless you're Zuckerberg or whatever his name is with Facebook, you know, he's a billionaire. But no, yeah, you know, go buy a lottery ticket for a couple bucks. You know, that's, you know, and I've been told, I can't tell how many times I've been told by folks, I wish I would have listened to you, Melody. Moving on, tapes showing meek oversight of Goldman are about to rock Wall Street. This was announced earlier today. They say Wall Street is going to be rocked by secretly recorded audio tapes that show a too cozy relationship between the New York Federal Reserve Bank and the financial institutions it is supposed to regulate. There's 45 hours of tape made by Carmen Segarra, and she is a former New York Fed worker. capture former coworkers whose job was to keep banks, excuse me, like Goldman Sachs in line, instead deferring to the banks, being unwilling to take action, and being extremely passive, according to NPR's This American Life and the ProPublica, which obtained the tapes, and they're scheduled to air a program about it tonight, I believe. Michael Lewis, best-selling author of Flash Boys, A Wall Street Revolt, and Liar's Poker, he said after listening to the tapes, the Ray Rice video for the financial sector has arrived. We'll see, but
yeah, we'll watch. We'll know better. We'll know more on Monday and on into next week. The problem, you know, as always, people say, "Oh, this is going to rock Wall Street." Well, everything's hyped. I wonder,
nothing.
You know,
rocks.
Will it really? Will it really rock them, or merely annoy them, or what will happen? And it might be that black swan event that has enormous impact, but you get tired of hearing so much hype. People, oh, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened. Oh, this is tremendous. It might be just another bump in the road. We'll watch and see. But we'll know more next week, and we will report on it when we get there.
There was a beheading in Oklahoma. We're just going to touch on this briefly until we, you know, really hear a little bit more about what has happened. A man that was fired from a food processing plant beheaded a woman with a knife and was attacking another worker when he was shot and wounded by a company official. More police sergeant. Boy, more Oklahoma sure has its difficulties with hurricanes and the devastation. But police sergeant Jeremy Lewis says the police are waiting until the 30-year-old man is conscious to arrest him. And actually, this happened yesterday.
Yeah, there was allegedly an off-duty police officer, off-duty deputy who was there at the plant at the time, and perhaps an employee of the plant, and he was packing a gun, and he shot this guy several times, didn't kill him, but he did shoot him, and that stopped him from proceeding further. I've seen reports on it that indicate this guy was a former employee who got fired, and he was perhaps upset about having been fired. That's one possible explanation. And he had nothing to do with these two women. According to one of the reports I've seen, one of the TV reports, he had no personal relationship. It may be that he didn't even know the woman that he beheaded. All right? She just got in his way when he was leaving the plant. I mean, it's like bumping into somebody on the street, and he just says, I'm going to chop your head off. I've seen one report that indicates that part of the reason, it at least implies that part of the reason this guy may have been fired was that he was harassing workers at the plant to try to compel them, entice them, encourage them to become Muslims. And perhaps that's the reason why this guy got fired. He was trying to convert people, and he came back, and this is where the beheading came in. This guy is, so far as I know, he's not from the Middle East. He is an American convert to the Islamic faith, who they can behead people over there, we can behead people over here. You know, and so the whole thing is nuts. More craziness, more insanity. Yeah.
And talking about disgruntled workers, I guess Chicago Airport is still shut down more than 8 hours after a disgruntled contract worker set a fire at the FAA radar center. It was still considered a crime scene today. Limited flights were operating, and the damage has created a ripple effect across the air traffic system. And of course, flights have been canceled and delayed.
Another one of those situations. People are under more and more stress.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, it's almost astonishing, though, how few people, we hear these reports, some crazy guy in Oklahoma, we got another crazy guy up in Chicago, there's a couple more crazy guys running around loose that are doing something in one state or another here in the United States of America, but there are 317 million people in this country. And you would almost expect we should be hearing crazy things by the hundreds every day, if not the thousands. In fact, we only get a few.
That's because they can't list them all.
maybe. Hard to say what the reason is, but As nutty as this system seems sometimes,
because everybody's too busy,
people may not be as crazy as we sometimes suspect.
Maybe not.
The majority get by. You know, or ordinary people just trying to get by. They may not understand what's happening, but they're not running around with enormous malice in their heart looking for somebody to rob, shoot, whatever. All they want is a six-pack of beer and Dancing with the Stars, and they're good to go.
And that's why we have the problems that we have. Yesterday afternoon, the Obama, I'm sure you heard about this, the Obama administration, quietly they announced a policy change that would allow illegal aliens to join the military. The change to an existing policy known as the Military Accessions in the National Interest Program will allow up to 1,500 illegal aliens who qualify for deferred action under Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals amnesty to enlist if the illegal alien possesses high-demand skills, rare foreign language expertise, or specialized health care training. Under the existing law, illegal aliens are forbidden from joining the military. However, the Secretary of Defense does have some discretion if it is vital to the national interest.
Well, what they're saying is a little bit of it takes a thief. I don't know how many of you remember that TV program, probably from the 60s, but I think the 70s. Alexander Mundy, I think, was his name, and he was a high-class thief, and he wound up working for the CIA to steal documents and whatever on behalf of the government. In theory, it's my understanding that if you want to join the military, you can't get there with a significant criminal record. Now, I might be mistaken about that, but it's my understanding they want non-criminals to apply to become members of the American military. In this case, when they say, oh, we'll take 1,500 illegal aliens, they're saying we're going to take 1,500 criminals into the military.
Mm-hmm.
If they've got sufficient skills where the military can make a buck off the deal, it's not an issue whether or not they're criminals or gangsters or anything else. You know, is this good for business? That's essentially what this comes down to. And it's another one for me. It's another one of those signs we are living in an economy rather than a nation. We have lost our moral compass. The only thing that matters is how much money we can make or how much money other people can make for us. And ultimately, that thinking goes to hiring illegal aliens if they have sufficient skills. Forget the fact that they're criminals. We'll hire them anyway. I understand the necessity of it, the practicality. I recognize that to some degree. I get that. But still, there are implications of this kind of pragmatism that do not bode well for the country. If we're going to make a habit of hiring criminals and saying, well, yeah, but this guy's got a lot of skills. You know, we would normally hire a crook, but this guy, you know, he's got a lot of skills that we need, and therefore, yada, yada. Does that set an example that serves this country well, or is it short-sighted and bad policy? I'm inclined to think it's short-sighted and bad policy. If you need somebody who has particular skills, why don't you look into the private market or look into educating people to see that they acquire these skills?
Let me go ahead. Let me just inject, because you're absolutely correct. There was a report published by the Kansas City Star earlier this year, and it said that as many as 80% of Americans trying to enlist are ultimately rejected.
Yeah.
80%?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge number. And that is even after Hagel has announced his plans earlier this year to draw down the overall number of troops. So it really is a smack in the face for the military.
It's a smack in the face for the American people. Yeah. They're saying, look, we got 1,500 illegal aliens that have more skills than 80% of the applicants that are trying to get into the Army right now. And we're not going to train you to acquire those skills, cost us money, we're just going to take advantage. And it's hard for me to imagine. What skills do you suppose an illegal alien could have that we can't possibly duplicate in this country on our own? I mean, we're talking about illegal aliens. We're not talking about master criminals. or at least we shouldn't be. We're talking about some poor guy who tried to sneak across the border with a bottle of water, a plastic bottle of water, all right, to help him survive while he was crossing the arid sections of New Mexico or Texas or whatever to get into the country. How many skills can this guy have if he's really got the kind of skills our government needs? I'm surprised somebody hasn't hired him back in his home country and given him a decent job. Maybe we could find some illegal aliens who can play the piano, though, Melody, and they could do the bumper music here at Financial Survival. I hear the bumper music, so it's time to stop talking and listen to some commercials instead. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. Here's an article. I have two articles that deal with spy tech. The first one is from the Associated Press. The headline is CIA halts spying in Europe. CIA has curbed spying on friendly governments in Western Europe in response to the Fuhrer. Over a German caught selling secrets to the United States and the Edward Snowden revelations of classified information held by the National Security Agency. So, good news. No more spying on European allies, at least not until the CIA decides if the spying is worth the risk of being caught. That's what they're reevaluating. It says the pause in decades of espionage, which remains partially in effect, so they're still spying, but not as much as they have, was designed to give CIA officers time to examine whether they were being careful enough and to evaluate whether spying on allies is worth running the risk of discovery. So we have no moral problem with spying on allies. That's not a problem. The problem is there more risk associated with spying on allies than there is advantage or benefit or profit from acquiring their secret information. So again, we're in this economic mindset where it's a cost-benefit relationship, all right? That's how they're going to value it. It isn't quite so right or wrong. That's not here. We're not talking about right or wrong. We're talking about ultimately profit and loss. So we're not going to be spying on our European allies, at least not for a while. However, there's no word on whether government will ever stop spying on the American people. After all, it doesn't matter if the Americans find out or not. There's no risk of the American people discovering that they're being spied on because, one, they don't much care, and, two, the government doesn't care if they're caught. So government, CIA, stop spying on our foreign allies, but government is still going to spy on you and me. Which brings us to an article from the Washington Post. The headline is FBI blasts Apple, Google for locking police out of phones. How awful. Apple and Google have advanced technologies in new cell phones and elsewhere where the government can't crack in. Even if they get hold of your cell phone, they can't figure out what's in it. Right? This stuff is so, the new technology, at least for now, is sufficiently sophisticated that even if the government says to Google, give us the information, Google will be technologically incapable of providing them with the information. Even if they tell Apple, tell us how to get the information out of these phones, Apple's going to say, we don't know. We've created something here that even we can't crack into. Now, this isn't going to last forever because there's no such thing as secrecy in the Internet age, which is exactly why in the first story we have the CIA saying, gee, should we spy or should we not? Because they're going to get caught. It's going to be exposed. You can't keep secrets in the Internet age anymore. In any case, on these FBI blasts Apple, Google for locking police out of phones. FBI Director James Comey sharply criticized Apple and Google on Thursday for developing forms of smartphone and phone encryption so secure that law enforcement officials cannot easily gain access to information stored on the devices, even when they have valid search warrants. His comments were the most forceful yet from top government officials, but echo a chorus of denunciation from law enforcement officials nationwide. Police have said that the ability to search photos, messages, and web histories on smartphones is essential to solving a range of serious crimes, including murder, child pornography, and attempted terrorist attacks. Okay? So what's Google and Apple up to? Are they fighting for the rights of the criminals? Are they fighting to defend the people who have committed murder or are terrorists or engaged in child pornography? And the answer is no. You know, people store incredible amounts of information on their smartphones, being able to access that information with a warrant, of course, for an individual who is suspected of having perpetrated a particular crime can certainly make police investigations and prosecutions much easier. In fact, having access to the suspect's smartphone information can be crucial to proving guilt and gaining a conviction. So, if the government doesn't have access to the child pornographer's cell phone, if they can't get into that thing and find the pictures and find the context and the rest of that, they're going to have a much more difficult time making a conviction. All right? But efforts by Google and Apple to create the smartphone security technology that can't be penetrated by law enforcement, it's a cause for concern. But why are we doing it? Google is not trying to protect the relatively small number of individual criminals from conviction for heinous crimes. Apple and Google are trying to protect the vast majority of innocent Americans from being spied on by the National Security Agency. They're not injecting this technology into these smartphones in order to make sure that the child molesters get away with it. They're injecting the technology into the smartphones to guarantee that millions of Americans who would otherwise be spied on by the NSA are not spied on. That's what's happening here. And so my point is that, ironically, in order to protect the mass of Americans from secret, warrantless searches by the NSA, Apple and Google are developing technologies that even protect our smartphone information from searches by the police and FBI conducted with probable cause and with warrants. I don't know if I'm making this clear, but the police are saying we need to be able to get the information on that one particular guy that we suspect is engaged in child pornography. Well, I understand their argument. But for every guy who's engaged in child pornography, there's hundreds or thousands of people who are simply going about their lives, and they are not, they haven't created probable cause to think they've done anything wrong. And therefore, it shouldn't be acceptable for the National Security Agency of our government to spy on their, to secretly bust into their smartphone without a warrant and find out what they're up to. So, we've got two different, the problem again is not Google, it's not Apple. It's a government that thinks it should be able to spy on everyone all the time. And a people and even corporations that are responding and saying, no, we'll devise technologies where you can't spy on us all the time. And some of the government says, oh, but that'll inhibit our ability to get a relative handful of criminals. So what are we going to do, Melanie?
Well, I look at it a little bit differently. And perhaps the American people are just, you know, they get the benefit. But when I think of big corporations, I don't think they do anything for the quote-unquote people. I think they do it all for the almighty dollar.
I agree with that.
And I think they're doing it to protect their phones, maybe their keeping people out of their systems, and we just have maybe be the beneficiary of it. I don't think they've... I think if you're building an image... You know, here you have an Apple, and here you have a, you know, ABC phone. Well, ABC phone really doesn't care and doesn't have the technology to protect me a little bit more. So who are you going to buy from? Which phone are you going to get?
Well, it depends on how sensitive you are to the idea that you're being spied on by the government. If you don't care, get the ABC phone. I don't care if they spy on me. On the other hand, if you're concerned and you're offended by the idea that government would spy on you, then you're going to buy the phone that has the more sophisticated anti-spy technology. And I think what I'm not arguing that Google and Apple are good guys on this thing, but I am saying they see a market for this, and which means the American people don't want to be spied on by the government. And they will pay extra for a phone that, say, keeps the government out of my... I don't have to worry about the government spying on whatever I'm doing on my phone. This is evidence that there is a political force building in this country that is opposed to warrantless searches. People are becoming aware, and they'll pay for protection. And that means government is in a difficult situation right now.
Do you think Apple is creating this? Do you think it's really the American people or people in other places that are more concerned about their privacy than the people here in this country?
I think,
or a combination.
That's a combination. I used to pose those questions. You said, "Well, I think both." I think the answer both. Huh? I'm going to give you a little. I think both, Melody.
Okay.
I like that. Huh? I give you both.
And I also know that you know, even governments don't even need to have warrants. They can tag you to a terrorist. They don't need any warrants at all. Thank you, the Patriot Act and everything else after that. But so
maybe we will in the foreseeable.
Maybe.
Maybe this is going to break down to where the only way you get into somebody's cell phone and whatever technology they're putting into the smartphones, I have no doubt that it will be eventually available for everybody, for everyone's laptop and their tablets and their desktop computers.
But I mean, Google was the first one that was to give up all the information.
No.
They were there all here. Take it. They were the ones that were signed up with the government in order
but
to
give all
their cuts.
But now they have seen the error of their ways because that apparently cut back on their market size. And they've been able to determine, the public isn't using Google as much as they did in the past. They're using alternative search engines. And part of the reason, and they've done studies, I have no doubt, and they've determined we've lost 10% market share because we were willing to share our information with the government. So we'll create a technology where we can't, even if they give us a warrant. We're going to say, we'd like to give it to you, understand, but we can't because of the technology that's in place. It's an interesting dynamic, and it's even cause for a little bit of celebration, at least for some of us, that would like to see a restoration of liberty and freedom in this country. The public is responding in ways where corporations are saying we can't make money if we continue to spy on these people. We've got to at least give them confidence that we're not spying. Now, are they or are they not spying? They say government can't spy and we won't sell the information. You don't suppose they'd fib, do you, Melody?
Oh, no, no. Heavens, no.
I know. So that's one of those things. Nevertheless, it has to be a response to the American people's desire to gain greater privacy and protect themselves from government intrusion. I regard that as a good thing.
Yes. Huh? Yes.
All right, here's
something. Let's just hope Apple can fix their phones so they don't bend. Although I heard there's only just a few that actually bent their new phone. You put it in your back pocket, and when you sit down, it bends. So,
well, you know, maybe there's a lesson there that you shouldn't be sitting on your phone. You know, I don't know. You know, you maybe ought to be carrying it in your shirt pocket or some other place, or put it on a string around your neck or something like that. I mean, what do you really expect if you're going to sit on something, and particularly if you are ample in terms of size? You know, this is a technological instrument. It's small enough where you can carry it around. It can't be built like an engine block. It's got to be, you know, there's certain limits. You're going to have to sell these things. Perhaps they'll sell them according to your body mass. You know, you go in there and you buy one. If you're not too big, you get one that's bendable, but it's light. And if you're pretty big, they're going to sell you one that's, it won't bend, but it's gonna put some weight on you carrying this thing around.
Double duty.
This phone will be a 5-pound cell phone with a cast iron frame, so it won't bend. But you can sit on it if you feel compelled to do so.
Takes away the meaning of sit on it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. What else, Al?
Well, I don't know. We don't have too much time left. Let's see what we've got. Here's what Mark Cuban wishes he knew about money in his 20s. They asked Mark Cuban, he's a billionaire here in Texas, and he answered that what he wished he knew when he was in his 20s is that credit cards are the worst investment that you can make. That the money I save on interest by not having debt is better than any return I could possibly get by investing that money in the stock market. I should have paid off my credit cards every 30 days. Cuban zeroed in on some core personal finance concepts, using credit cards responsibly, staying out of debt, and not fancying yourself a stock market savant. Don't get to thinking you're so smart you got it all under control. Just stay out of debt for one thing and try not to do anything as stupid as let your credit cards go on and on forever, you know? Just pay the interest. It's a foolish idea. We're out of time, folks. We'll be back on Monday. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. See you on Monday. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it? There never seems to be a single penny left for me.